Time for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, in the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And it is time once again for the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Lots to get to, busy weekend. And we'd like to wish everybody out there a happy holiday. And remember, if your holiday wish is to get into better shape, take care of yourself. Don't wait for New Year's to make those resolutions. Do it now. Go to one of the five Vegas Discount Nutritions for all the supplement needs and everything else that you need for your health. And if you don't know exactly what it is, we'll just talk to the people there. They're very knowledgeable, and they will tell you what to do to get in better shape. I've been over there. I still haven't partaken in really getting anything yet, but I'm working on it.
Wait a minute. Did we bring you something?
Well, yeah, you brought me one thing, but I mean, you didn't bring it. I paid for it. So,
how did it go, by the way?
How'd those make you feel?
Not really super bad or nothing like that at first. I mean, it's like, maybe it takes a while for my system or something like that.
But it's a cleansing experience.
Yeah, probiotic. So, but lots of things going on at Vegas Discount Nutrition with the five locations now, and some big news coming up as well for fight fans.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's right. They just announced the week before the UFC 207, which is Friday, the day before New Year's Eve. That's December 30th. Vegas Discount Nutrition, two of their locations, the one at the Fashion Show Mall, I believe TJ Dillashaw will be there signing autographs on, is it the Wednesday night before?
Wednesday the 28th.
Wednesday the 28th.
It'll from be TJ, 4 to 6.
From 4 to 6, TJ Dillashaw will be over at the Fashion Show Mall signing autographs. And at the Eastern location.
From 4 to 7.
From 4 to 7, you're going to have Neil Magny and Brandon Thatch. So that's pretty cool, over at Vegas Discount Nutrition, having a few UFC fighters coming in. It's going to be a fun time for sure. Today we've got a lot to get to. Obviously, you mentioned it. I know, Armando, you're excited for a lot going on today. We used to have a guest coming up a little later, a former Marine, Lance Corporal with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, Shane Kirchen. He's actually a featherweight MMA fighter fighting for the World Series of Fighting, number 34, I believe they're up to now. This is at the theater at Madison Square Garden. So, okay, a couple weeks ago, we were pretty big on UFC making their debut at MSG. But now, now we're getting more and more at mixed martial arts in New York.
Explain something to me about New York. Okay, there's Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
There's the theater.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the Felt Forum, I remember from way back in where they used to. Is that all one thing?
Yeah, I believe the theater at MSG was the old Felt Forum.
Okay, so that's the same thing.
Yeah, it used to be the Paramount as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that right there. Basically, Madison Square Garden is, you know what Madison Square Garden is.
Garden,
when
yes.
You walk into Madison Square Garden, you can also walk down, and below the actual arena is a theater. And it's a big theater.
I've seen on TV, obviously. I've been lots of fights there.
Many times. Many good times, many forgotten times, so to say.
Do they hold concerts and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Great place to see a show. But he'll be joining us a little later. But we do have a lot to talk about. A lot of football going on.
Come on. It's what do you mean?
Oh, there's something else going on today, too.
This is Vegas, man. This is Saturday. This is Duke week. What's the matter with you? UNLV running Rebels versus Duke at the TM.
Frank, how horrible is that? He's just like, this is Duke week in Vegas UNLV.
Can we really call it Duke week when it's been 25 years since they faced each other?
25 years? Are you guys not excited? I mean, really?
Not even a little.
What?
The 22-point spread. It's not the same teams. None of these players on either team were even born when that last game took place.
Ooh, Frank, calm down. Calm down. This is exciting.
I'm calm. How excited can you be for a 22-point spread game?
Okay, if you like college basketball, the fact that Duke is in your backyard, you want to go. The thing sold out already.
Well, I'm not surprised by that.
Exactly. Come on.
But it doesn't mean I have to be excited about it. I like competitive games.
So much so that you won't go to the competitive game that you got a ticket for.
Well, I might. We'll see what happens. See what happens.
That's another story. We'll get that.
But Duke and UNLV, I mean, it's cool that they're playing again. But okay. it would have been nice.
Don't you think it would if they lose by 10 points? Don't you think that's some sort of victory?
There's no moral victories.
There's no. Yeah, listen, I don't know. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, buddy.
What are those?
You know, it's kind of funny how much has changed.
Yes.
Since the last time these two teams meet.
Your lovely wife is covering the game. Really?
Yeah, she is. And Frank, we have a professional team now.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We have a professional team now with possibly another one on the way.
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights we know are here.
Yeah, and
there's some speculation about the name, but they're going to be Golden Knights. No, they're going to be the Golden Knights. It's just, in my opinion, this is a money grab by that school. Whoever
I've
even
never heard of the school?
The College of St. Rose?
Is that a school, really? I mean,
is that located on St. Rose Park?
That's the first thing I asked. I'm like, what is that on Eastern? And no, apparently
is that a technical school.
Apparently, it's in Albany.
Oh, that's one of those online places, huh? Oh.
It's not an online place. It's actually a real school.
There's a building?
And apparently they've been the Golden Knights since like 2004 or something.
Oh, they
their athletic department also is, according to reports, $8 to $9 million in debt. So basically it's saying write us a check and help us out a little bit and we'll let you share the name. That's my opinion on it. Nothing official on that. Though it definitely is just another one of those hurdles that, you know, where they've really made a mess out of this whole naming thing and everything else going on there, because they should have had this taken care of before it ever occurred.
Oh, God, it was like back and forth forever. I mean, that Mitch and Pritch promo that's running, you know, talking about how we won't find out until November. And, you know, it seemed like it was just a pissing contest between, you know, the Raiders stadium and the naming of the team.
Well, and the thing about it was, I mean, Bill Foley said over and over and over again what a nightmare it was. He didn't realize how hard it was to find names because of all the trademark infringements. They were just going to thinking about just being the Vegas Knights, period. Just Vegas Knights, which I actually kind of liked.
Me too.
Because you could have the night theme. But no, there's a team in a minor league hockey team in London, Ontario, Canada, which has that name.
Where? Canada?
Yes. So they couldn't. Yeah. Trademarks are worldwide infringement in that. It's a whole different game. You know, for everybody that's out there who's saying, well, they said they were going to let the people name the team. You can't do that anymore.
Not with
all the trademarks and laws and everything out there. It's ridiculous. And now this college that nobody's ever even heard of, all of a sudden now they're coming up and calling infringement.
It's absolutely insane.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you guys think about the Raiders coming here? You think this now with the stadium, now a new site being talked about? I know NFL owner meetings Tuesday, they start down in Dallas.
Yeah, they start down in Dallas. There's also a vote that's taking place in Oakland for the new stadium that they want to build up there, because now all of a sudden they found money in Oakland.
And which, you know,
with Ronnie Lott's people. Although Ronnie Lott's been part of like three or four groups before that couldn't find it.
Could it be because the Raiders are winning this year?
Well, I think it's because they're going, oh, damn, you guys are really talking about leaving. Well, maybe now it's a way, because they didn't think they were ever going to go. Which is really dumb on their part, because they left before.
Yeah,
and their stadium is absolutely horrible.
And from what I mean, all of the designs I've seen for the new stadium that they want to put here, night and day. Now, would you guys? Now, I know I busted Armando's chops all the beginning of football season about the Raiders and how he just thought they sucked, and I thought they were going to be good. And they are good. They're not a great team. They're a good team.
Thursday,
though, you know, they did not look good at all.
They didn't like the cold weather.
Yeah,
Was it the cold weather or was it the finger? I personally believe it's the finger.
I think it was a combination of both. A combination of both, no doubt about it. But I think the big thing that actually came out of Thursday's game, besides that tremendous fight.
The fight.
Now, I think the biggest.
This is people that are coming here, correct?
Yeah, that's what I hope not. Yeah. That's what I mean. What we saw, and I don't know how many people out there have actually seen the footage, but that was nasty. I mean, that was violent, uncalled for. That was like mankind at its worst.
And unfortunately, it's not just an isolated incident at Raider games.
No.
I mean, this happens in the black hole and other places they go as well. I know people that go down to San Diego and say that literally Charger fans have told me that when they go to see their team at home, they're afraid to wear their jerseys.
Oh. Now, the Raider fans, obviously, if you've seen the fight, you know what I'm talking about. It was mayhem.
By the way, this was a fight in the stands.
In the stands. You had a poor woman face plant down the steps. You had some guy get tossed over about four rows rolling down.
He was in the fight.
He was in the fight until he got thrown out of the fight.
The only good thing for everybody in that fight was that because it was cold, at least they were all wearing big, thick jackets and that kind of stuff to give them a little bit of padding when they went flying down the stairs or over chairs.
And there was a lot of... Now, I hope that's not what we deal with. And it kind of brings up the idea and what's too much? What is too much being a fan? I mean... Like, listen, the 18, 19-year-old drunk, stupid me is like, yeah, I understand this. But the adult in me is like, what's wrong with you people?
I mean, in the 20s, I used to go to, when I was, I used to travel to Salt Lake City, Utah. Used to get into massive shouting matches with Utah Jazz fans at a Laker game. And afterwards, it's like, we all come, hug, shake hands, and said, bet. A lot of them invited me, say, please be here for the playoffs. We'd love to do this every other, for the two games that are played here. So, it could be a lot of fun. Because I had a lot of fun with it. But that, what we saw, that old lady's, her only problem, was that she was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, there's being at the wrong place at the wrong time. There's
the guys are throwing down. And then they're trying to get in and then just run her over, throwing right down the steps.
That's the thing is she paid for a ticket. So at no point is she in the wrong place at the wrong time. She is surrounded by idiots. Now, I've been to plenty of games where, being a Saints fan growing up in New York City.
East Coast fans are notorious.
I think, and I'm saying a little scared with Raider fans coming here. If it's going to be like that, do we want that? Especially with the, all the bad stigmas that go with Las Vegas as it is. Do you want to bring that kind of element in? And I'm not talking bad about Raiders fans, but about those ones out there that are all violent for whatever team you root for. I, being a Saints fan growing up in New York City, went to many Giants and Jets games. Rocking my Saints jersey. And, you get harassed. Giants games, there were times where they would completely bombard you and just insult after insult, but never violence. That was one thing. With the Giants fans, it was never violence. And I know there's all the talk about between what's going on with them and Philly over the years, snowballs, all that. But Jets fans are the absolute worst. They are violent, and they are just like the epitome of the worst. It's the worst of society. I went to a Jets-Saints preseason game. Preseason. Nothing mattered. And if you actually think about it, most of the time the Saints and the Jets fans or the Jets get together, nothing's really on the line. But I stepped out of my car with my mother, my father, and my younger brother. Wearing a Deuce McAllister jersey.
Nice.
And no kidding, I didn't even close the door yet, and I had a bottle thrown at me.
Well, do you remember, you're talking about a preseason game. Remember the last time the 49ers and the Raiders played a preseason game?
People died.
That was the last time that they had one of those games because both teams said, that's it, we can't do this anymore. And it was actually, according to most reports, the 49er fans that started most of those fights.
Yeah.
However... there's still that animosity there. When I was younger, I used to go to – I'd wear my Blackhawk jersey. Now I'm talking hockey, obviously. But we'd go down to Detroit or up to Minnesota or wherever and watch games, down to St. Louis. And, yeah, people would say stuff to you and this and that. You might get a beer thrown at you. But they weren't trying to put you in the hospital or end your life or something like
you're
that.
Lying.
Same thing when I'd go to would wear my Ohio State jersey when I'd go to different places back in that area or go to a Bears game and go on the road or something like that. Yeah, people shout stuff at you, but now it just seems like a whole different mentality. We see it in baseball games. That guy that got, basically paralyzed or whatever at a Dodger game,
mm-hmm.
a baseball game, and the other team won. People's teams are winning and they're still doing this crap.
I don't understand it.
These people need to be criminally prosecuted and never allowed in another stadium as long as they live.
Yeah, if you can't control yourself like that, you should not. Yes, you should be. There should be some sort of like all the stadiums. We have all the owners get together. I mean, we have an NFL owners meeting.
Yes.
That should be something. There should, you know, like
more security.
More security, but you know,
but did you see security just breaking them up and sending them on their way?
Remember, get out of here.
Go.
Remember the idiot father and son at Comiskey Park that attacked Gamboa, the coach, Kansas City's coach.
Mm-hmm.
And those two people now, I've just read a thing about them because it was however many years ago. They still live in that area, and they're like little cult heroes in their neighborhood and everything.
Of course.
And they probably still get to go to all the games. Let's move on from the fighting, because it is a little ridiculous. Yeah. It's immature. And you
let's
know,
go, if let's go to sport fighting.
Yeah. Well, fighting should be in cages and rings with professionals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That hopefully can make weight.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice, Frank. Nice. And what Frank's talking about, of course, is Anthony Pettis and a few other individuals not making weight yesterday for UFC 206, which changes everything. Changes everything going into tonight, but we will talk about that a little later. But really quick, back to the Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs game. Raiders losing changed things up big time as far as that playoff look is going right now. You had the Raiders, who had the number one seed in the AFC, have now dropped to the fifth seed. They are in the wild card position. Things are all out of whack. And looking, and I got to say, this blew my mind. We are week 13, or is this week 14?
Week 14
week,
just
this
started.
Is week 14. And in the AFC, there are only three teams officially eliminated from playoff contention. That would be the Jets, the Jaguars, and of course, our Cleveland Browns.
Isn't Jacksonville and Cleveland officially eliminated when the season starts, though?
I think so.
No, okay, stop being so mean.
No, you know what, though?
Stop kicking them when they're down.
You know what? We had actually, there were some people on this show that had higher hopes for others than, you know, when it came to the Browns. But the Jaguars, I think, are the team that we're all unanimous that we're really surprised with the way they played this year. Everyone thought that they were going to be a lot better.
Well, the one thing good for Cleveland right now is they have an easy sample size to see what RG3 can do for him, because there's no pressure to win, except for that they don't want to go 0-16. But
of course you don't want to go 0-16, and I'm sure that their pride, you know, you're fighting for a win, and I think they may get one.
Interesting that you use the word pride, since it's the Lions who went
0-16.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Lions. I'm upset with
the
Lions.
Well, no, but I'm saying a group of Lions is a pride.
I know what you're saying. But
did Tampa Bay Buccaneers go 0-16 too?
No, they went 1-15.
Yeah, I think they won one. I think the Lions are the only ones that won 0-16.
They beat the Saints, is who it was that they beat.
No wonder you.
I remember there was this big thing about it. Archie Manning went down there and he's like, dude, this is kind of like a practice game. You know, it wouldn't even. And it riled up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that year, and they won that game. But looking at the NFC, this is absolutely crazy. The NFC, there is one team eliminated. And that is the San Francisco 49ers at 1-11, which, Frank, that means that you're 3-9. Chicago Bears still mathematically have a chance. And Armando, you're 4-8 Rams, because, you know, you dumped the 1-11 Niners. But your 4-8 Rams have a chance, too. Hell, my 5-7 Saints have a chance to make the playoffs. In reality, there's no chance. Yeah. But mathematically, these teams are still alive.
Yes. However, a lot of things have to happen for any of our teams to get in there.
But, I mean, that's crazy that we're this far into the season. Or does that say how bad the NFC is this year?
Well, you know, they wanted some parity, and they got it. And I don't really know if it's working. If you look at the ratings and that, maybe it's not so much.
The ratings are down. We don't know what that's from. It could be, you know, the play. It could be the referees. It could be, you know, the outside, the field allegations and things that are going on. It could be a lot of things, but you're right. Ratings are down. And, you know, this might make things interesting for a playoff picture.
All right. Well, we will see what happens with that. When we come back, we got a guest coming up.
Yeah, we're going to be joined by Shane Crutchin, fighting for the World Series of Fighting. We also got to talk. There was UFC last night. There's Bellator this afternoon. There's UFC tonight. There's a lot going on we got to get to.
Yeah, five boxing matches.
And we've also got an Army-Navy football game. It might not be a marquee matchup as far as, you know, the teams go, but it's one of the biggest matchups here. So
hell of a rivalry.
Although Army not hasn't really. Won in 14 years. 14 years. All right, it is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Stick around. Lots more to get to. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez. Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Five locations to serve you better. Get all your holiday nutritions. Start those New Year's Eve resolutions a little bit early. Start them today. They have the experts there. They'll tell you everything you need to know. All right, guys. Well, we need to know a lot of stuff here, and we've got the fights, the boxing, the MMA stuff going on, but we're still talking a little bit of football and some other things as well because it is some interesting things going on right now. No such thing as a slow time, not that this ever was. Of course, I've been watching a ton of hockey myself, but yeah, that's me.
And I know you had a rough time watching the Blackhawk game, so I know you're not on a lot of sleep right now, are you?
No, I basically, I think I got up like 7 o'clock yesterday morning, and I've been up since.
Oh, that's you are an absolute trooper. Now, I don't know. I know you were doing the overnight, but last night UFC actually had a fight card. It was like their pre-fight card to their fight card tonight. It was a fight night that took place on Fight Pass. Actually, it was their second now since the ban has been lifted, so to say, but their second New York event. It took place in Albany, and the main event was Derek Lewis against Shamil Abdurakhimov. I'll say that again, Abdurakhimov. Nice. He, Derek Lewis, that is, big heavyweight prospect. Lots of people have their eye on him, think he is a possible contender, and I gotta say, didn't put on the best performance last night, did walk away from the win, but he was clearly unhappy with himself after the fight. I think if you looked at
unhappy.
He was very unhappy, and rightfully so. This was a fight that he was, I don't want to say given, but this was a fight designed to showcase Derek Lewis and his ability. Shamil wanted nothing to do with him in the stand-up. And
as he shouldn't.
And exactly. And if you want to fight Derek Lewis and you want to win against Derek Lewis, what you do is you take him down if you can, which is not always an easy thing to do. Remember the Roy Nelson fight. Not that Roy Nelson is a phenomenal wrestler or anything, but couldn't get him down. Derek Lewis has a great sprawl. He has great takedown defense. But what he did last night, in my opinion, and now this is my opinion, was the dumbest fight plan I've ever seen. I mean, going out there, he threw a high head kick to start the fight, and Shamil caught it and took him down. And then the rest of the four rounds that it lasted, it was repeat. It was wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. He would come out once he'd get up. And that's the thing about Derek Lewis. He's got great ability to get up when he needs to. You know, when he's if he wants to get up, he gets up. And Brian Stann mentioned that quite a few times last night. No one's ever been able to hold Derek Lewis down. Well, Derek Lewis kept throwing a high kick. It was caught. Shamil took him down and held him down for quite a bit. It was actually showed the frustration, showed he was tired. So Derek Lewis, I don't know if he is showcased the way the UFC wanted him to be showcased last night.
Is that on him or is that on his corner?
It's absolutely on him.
I know that he's got to be culpable because he's the one in the cage, but shouldn't his coaching that be screaming in his ear going that they've got to do something different?
Yeah, and I believe he was. It was like I said, it was just absolute.
Some people just they get in there and they just go to what the instinct and what they know.
Yeah, it was. And what I actually, one of the things that I like
to that's not something he knows is throwing head kicks. Is that
no, he does. He does. He's done it quite a few times. Yes, he's more known as a heavy puncher, yeah. But he does have some pretty good head kicks. Now, the one thing that I did like coming out of last night and was one from a referee, Dan Mergliotta, actually threatened to take a point from Shamil for not fighting. He kept backing up and not wanting to actually engage. But the big thing that came out of last night overall is Francis Ngannou is the way you pronounce his name. French fighter, He's a light heavyweight.
What's the matter with Anthony Hamilton? What the heck?
It's not that anything's wrong with Anthony Hamilton. It's just that this guy, Ngannou, is that he's a beast. This guy is a future contender, no doubt about it. And, you know, he had a couple other good fights in there. Corey Anderson, he took out Sean O'Connell. Sean O'Connell, I love watching fight. What a personality. Always amazing at the weigh-ins. But he lost another fight. That was a fight where Corey Anderson was a guy who was expected to come in there and win. And he looked really good. Gian Vellante looked very good as well. But yeah,
that was
Francis Ngannou.
Right there.
Yeah, but Francis Ngannou, no doubt about it, was by far the most impressive part of last night. Definitely a contender to keep your eye on there. Now, today, this afternoon, we also have a Bellator card in the afternoon. Bellator is in the afternoon, a little pre-fight before UFC 206 tonight, and I'm actually looking forward to that one. Two former UFC veterans going at it. You've got Joey Beltran. You know he's a heavy hitter. He's fun to watch. Taking on Alessio Sakara, the Legionnaire, who's another heavy hitter. Bellator this afternoon, like I said, a pre-fight for your fights tonight at UFC 206. But right now, joining us on the phone, he is a featherweight fighting at the World Series of Fighting 34, going down on New Year's Eve at the theater in Madison Square Garden. Joining us now, Shane Kirchen. Shane, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How you guys doing?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us. This is your first fight back in about almost a year and a half now. What's been going on with you?
You know, I just took some time away, some much-needed mental break to be a dad and, you know, just get my life priorities in line after rattling off 11 straight wins. It just 11 wins and, you know, I just needed to take a step back and really be a dad. So that's basically what I just focused on.
Now, you have quite an extraordinary story. I do want to get into that. But first, let's just talk about the fight real quickly. Coming into this, how exciting is it for you to be fighting on, this is the World Series of Fighting showcase card, and to be at Madison Square Garden, the theater there, is a big deal.
Yeah, this is no joke. I wasn't even supposed to be on this card originally. I knew this card was in the works and was being made, but I wasn't supposed to be on this card. I was supposed to be on WSOF 34 in Denver, and when that got canned, I remember the phone call from Ray. And the phone call basically went, hey, sorry, we're canning the whole card in Denver. And my heart just sunk. And I was sitting there. I was training with Liz Carmouche. She was getting ready for November 12th at Madison Square Garden. And I looked at her, and she looked at me. And she could just tell something was wrong. All of a sudden, Ray goes, but do you want to fight at MSG? And I was yes. So, you know, it was kind of, he took my heart and soul and gave it right back to me in the same conversation.
Now, your opponent, Jeremy Mahone, what do you know about him?
I've actually known Jeremy for a long time. He's a great guy. He's a skilled guy. You know, he's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You can't take that away from him. You know, he's got some decent stand-up. But other than that, I mean, the guy's just got a heart and soul like I do. You know, we're both Marines. We're both go-getters. We both were 5th Marines, as a matter of fact. We served in the same time frame, so I know he's going to bring a fight, like I'm going to bring a fight. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to punch each other.
Now, that's got to be interesting for you because, you know, your Marines, they're your brothers.
Yeah.
So, you know, going in there, I mean, have you had this situation before where you've had to go one-on-one with another Marine?
Mike Corey was actually a Marine as well.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, my last opponent was actually a Marine. So, and no, that's not the first time other than that. My first ever fight in MMA, I fought Brian Freck at heavyweight, and he was active duty Army. You know, it's not my first time fighting another service member. For Jeremy and I, it's just another day in the barracks because in the Marine Corps we have a thing called barracks brawls, and usually different battalions go against each other, and we just beat the crap out of each other. And I mean, you can just Google barracks brawls and watch YouTube videos, and they get pretty violent. But at the end of it, everybody just shakes hands and goes, "Okay, fine, we're the best battalion," and we walk away. So it's all good.
Do you get more up for a fight if you're fighting somebody from a different service or if you're fighting another Marine?
You know, it doesn't really matter at all. It's all the same prep. It is what it is at the end of the day. It's just kind of funny. You know, I'm carrying 3-5, you know, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and Jeremy's carrying 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, 1-5. So, you know, I got a legacy. I got the Dark Horse legacy. I got to carry in there and really, you know, Dark Horse guys are really riding me hard to, you know, put on a good show for them.
Now, Shane, you do a lot of work with the Wounded Warriors Project. You yourself received a Purple Heart from you were in the Iraq War, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, and you received. Now you do so much for the Wounded Warriors. What is that to you? I mean, what does that mean to you, giving back to them?
You know, it's everything. When I was wounded, I was one of the first people in 2004 to receive a backpack from the original founders of Wounded Warrior Project. When I came to, and there was a backpack with a pair of underwear and a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, I was able to get almost my life back in one backpack, you know, and feel like a man. I wasn't wearing this hospital gown with my rear end hanging out. So, you know, and throughout the years, Wounded Warrior Project has always had my back, always really just, you know, picked me up when I was down, especially in 2009, you know, when the PTSD and depression almost took my life. I tried to take my own life in that time. So, you know, with these guys, they're always there. And when you think they're down, they're not. You know, and it's just amazing to give back continually through any bad press or whatever. You know, seeing the smiles and these guys that you can put a smile on their face that haven't smiled in years, you know, it's more than rewarding. You can't even put a price tag on that.
Now, you just mentioned about how you tried to take your own life. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't think a lot of people really understand how hard it is for servicemen to come back from war. And especially, you know, you're talking about you dealing with the post-traumatic stress disorder and just, I guess, getting back to what should be considered reality for most. You know, people don't understand how hard it is to make that transition. How explain to people what that's like and what you have to come back to.
You know, I served in the bloodiest part of the Iraq War. I served in OAF 1 and 2. We lost 19 men, were killed in action. In less than 2 years of service, I lost 19 of my brothers. And I watched 19 of my best friends never come home. I watched another 144 come back wounded, some way, some shape, some form. And just to give people, you know, survivor's guilt is real. You know, think about, like, you know, a good way to put it is think you have everybody in your family photo and you lost, if you have 10, you lose 4 of those 10 in 1 minute, you know, and it's like, how are you going to survive that? So it's weird. You know, you try to block things out. You try to come back and live a normal life. Well, coming back and living a normal, quote, normal life, led me into alcohol, led me into drugs, depression. I was released from the Marine Corps. I got out, and it just, I fought, but I wasn't fighting healthily. I wasn't able to train the right way. And I thought fighting was going to be my escape, my venue. Everything was going to be fine. The guys I was training with at the time told me, hey, go get help. And, okay, no problem. You know, and I've been quoted many times saying it's like a gremlin on your back, PTSD is, and survivor's guilt as well. You don't know when it's going to attack. You don't know how it's going to attack. But when that thing gets wet, oh, man, it comes in vicious. And so, you know, sometimes it just out of nowhere, I'll be having the best day of my life. And it still happens to this day. I'm not cured. I'm not, you know, it's something I've learned to manage better. I'm not perfect, but I'll be having a really good day and all of a sudden just slip into, you know, just a funk that I can't really pull out of. But nowadays, you know, after having, you know, 10 plus years to learn and go to the right people to learn how to do it, I'm able to get the care I need. So it's just something, you know, it's just like you get a fog over your life And you don't know how long it's going to last. It could last a minute, could last hours or days.
You mentioned wounded warriors, and certainly Randy Couture and a lot of other guys have done stuff to help those out, fighters and other athletes and different things too. What are some of the other organizations or places you can go to get help like that? Because it is a very real thing, and we hear about all the former service people that do unfortunately take their lives or are thinking about it all the time, and it just seems like it's one of those things that you're going to be battling, unfortunately, maybe for the rest of your life or whatever. But who else can people look to help, or if somebody wants to help, who can they contribute to try to help this this very serious problem and very real problem?
Yeah, 100%. I am a big, I'm actually contributing money out of my fight, this fight, to Mighty Oaks Warrior Programs. Chad Robichaux, a former Marine Master Sergeant, and also a former Bellator and World Series fighter, he started this program. It's called Mighty Oaks Warrior Program. It's a holistic-based retreat for these Marines and sailors and service members to get out of the normal hustle and bustle of city life, get out of there. So, you know, it's all privately funded, but it's just so amazing, these programs like that, Disabled American Veterans, you know, Purple Heart Association. They're just abundance. But make sure you do your background checks on some of these guys. There are organizations, you know, and I myself have spoken very highly of some organizations, because at first they came out looking like they were going to be, you know, the bread and butter, and all of a sudden turn around and they slap me in the face, or other veterans. You know, like Wounded Warrior Project is huge, and definitely the Mighty Oaks Warrior Program. And that's what I'm donating money out of my fight money to this time. So it's just an honor to help my fellow service members. And, you know, if anybody really wants to go on there and Google that program and check it out, it would just be amazing.
Now, we're joined by Shane Crutchin right now. He's a Marine Corporal, Lance Corporal with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. He's fighting on the New Year's Eve show for the World Series of Fighting. Shane, you just told us about watching out for some of these programs where, you know, you got to do your background checks. But one of the things that I've been seeing a lot of in the last few years, and it absolutely disgusts me, not that I've ever served, but my whole family, my father was a Marine, you know, down Paris Island. I went down there. I've met quite a few in my life. But talk about stolen valor and how we're seeing so much of this these days. And, you know, why? Why are we seeing this so much?
You know, it's unlike Vietnam. You know, Vietnam, you know, people tried to hide their service. My father himself was a Vietnam veteran. My uncles were, you know, I had a few uncles never come home from war. So, you know, and it's crazy because you turn it around and you all of a sudden nowadays it's almost glorified. You get free things, and these businesses want to show their appreciation. So it almost promotes people to be fakes and be liars about it. And it's really sad because they reap these benefits of these brave men and women of the service. I have no problem. I've done it myself. I'll call people out. I've been very vocal about stolen valor, and especially being a Purple Heart recipient. I mean, if I'm talking to a guy, I don't look like military usually. So if I'm talking to a guy and he's like, "Yeah, I was wounded here," I'll start probing that exact conversation. I'm trying to figure that conversation out, and I'll call somebody out right to their face. I've done it at Applebee's during Veterans Day when guys walk in and trying to fake that they're in the service. I've called them out and been asked to leave an Applebee's because I was, quote, causing a scene. But, I mean, I'm trying to protect. Stolen Valor to me is protecting my brothers that never came home, because these people are stealing stories of these brave men and women that really did serve the country. And it eats me alive. It's just a whole nother... It's just a whole nother thing that just ticks me off.
Now, obviously, you've fought and you've seen a lot of friends go, like you said, right alongside you. What do you think when you see somebody like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the national anthem, or the different people that are disrespecting or sitting down or talking during it or just whatever? I mean, what is your thought on that? I mean, I know you fight for people's freedoms, but sometimes when they're disrespecting that's got to get in your craw.
You know, it is, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I believe that I believe people like Colin Kaepernick do have the right to, take a knee if they want to take a knee. Do I take offense to it personally? Yes, absolutely, 100,000,000%. I got in trouble at the San Diego Chargers versus the 49ers game because I said some very choice words, but that's my right too. He has his right to take a knee, and I have my right to, call him and say what I got to do. But at the end of the day as well, on the flip side of that coin, when you get dummies like Colin Kaepernick that start calling white oppression, it's like, wait, you just took a knee during a flag, national anthem, and then he's calling white oppression. But yeah, I look at his parents, his family that he grew up with, and I'm like, wait, okay, you're starting to say this. And then he comes out in a Fidel Castro shirt. I'm like, yep. Dude, what? you talk about contradicting yourself and just looking like a dummy. I couldn't stop laughing when he got benched after throwing, four offensive yards? I couldn't. It was just, man. And, I lived a few years when I was younger. I lived in Miami. So when I watched the Miami Dolphins just completely decimate him, like, I couldn't stop smiling. I was, like, laughing, posting memes about it. And I think half the world was at the time. I think half the world was posting memes about it. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're going to get idiots that are going to say things, that are going to do things. And they're going to post, the dumbest stuff. But at the end of the day, I fought for freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So, I mean, you kind of have to uphold it. I mean, I have my right of freedom of speech as well, and I have no problem speaking and telling them how I feel.
And we're glad you do, Shane. We certainly are. And we are, unfortunately, up against the clock. I do want to thank you for your service, and thank you for joining us today. And wish you the best of luck on New Year's Eve, brother.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. By the way, the War Rhino.
The War Rhino, absolutely. Yeah, and I absolutely, he talked about his fallen brothers and the 19 fallen brothers that he carries on his back. He does, if you actually have ever seen Shane fight, or he actually carries their names on his back. They are tattooed on his back with the day they lost their lives. And so it really is an inspirational story. And, to hear about him, he really tried to take his life. I watched a video. He spent about $700 and he did a lot of cocaine, tried to kill himself one night. And, he was saved. And now he's got a beautiful wife, a beautiful child. He's living a productive life and he's giving back. So it just goes to show you, just when you think you're down and you're out, you're not.
Yeah, so, head up. One thing that is fortunate for him, and I know we are way up against it, but at least he does have the outlet to get in the cage. And that a lot of the guys that come back, they don't have that outlet. They get in a fight, they go to jail or something like that for it. So there's a lot of different things. But wish him all the best. And it is a very serious thing out there. Like he mentioned, Mighty Oaks Warrior, Purple Heart Association, and Wounded Warrior Project. Those are three of their organizations. If you would like to help out that problem, when we come back, we do have a fight card going on tonight. We're going to get into that and talk about the guy that didn't make weight. So there's not a belt on the line. Well, there kind of is. If one guy wins, he gets the belt. If the other one wins, he
gets a pat on the back.
He gets to lose 20% of his purse because he couldn't make weight. It is the Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Stick around. All right, final go around here. Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine. And guys, we got to get right to it. We got a little fight card going on tonight.
We certainly do. UFC 206 taking place live in... I believe it's Toronto. No, it's in Canada. I believe it's Toronto. And man, it's kind of crazy. We had Max Holloway. Well, we talked about it last week. What a ruffle was thrown into the feathers of the featherweight division when you had Conor McGregor getting stripped of the title. Then you had Jose Aldo being promoted to the real, and I use that air quotes, real, because you got knocked out in 13 seconds by the real champion.
Who no longer Armando, wants to be there. Come on. He doesn't want to be there. He's not no more.
He's still the real champ in my eyes. He never defended it, but he never lost it either.
I mean, he had no intention of going back to 145. Nah,
he's just collecting. He's just adding to his collection, son. Just accept it. It doesn't matter. You got greatness surrounding you right now, Armando, and not just in this room whenever Conor McGregor is around. But anyway, Max Holloway taking on Anthony Pettis.
Nope.
What we thought was for the interim title.
But don't forget what started this whole thing was Cormier and Rumble Johnson being called off.
Yes, that was supposed to be the main event of tonight. Yes. That was Daniel Cormier against Anthony Rumble Johnson. Daniel Cormier got injured and had to pull out of the fight. So the UFC scrambled to throw themselves together a interim title, trying to sell more pay-per-views. But I honestly, I look at this card and, you know, I don't mind paying for it. I really don't. I think Max Holloway against Anthony Pettis was going to be a great fight anyway. The co-main event, Donald Cerrone against Matt Brown, is for however long that lasts, it's going to be fun. Worth the price of admission right there. But Holloway, you know, if he wins, he becomes the interim champion. But Anthony Pettis did not make weight. So if he wins, he does not become the interim champion. So, you know, what happens there, I don't know. But, man, Anthony Pettis, talk about, like, falling so far and then being gifted with something like this and to blow it. I mean, Anthony Pettis was the first Reebok-endorsed athlete that the UFC had. The first, like, you know, individual UFC Reebok contract. He was on the only MMA fighter
on a
Wheaties box. And, you know, then loses three in a row, looks really bad, things going bad for him, comes back, has that drop to featherweight, wins his fight against Charles Oliveira, who, great fighter, but, I mean, on a bit of a skid right now. And then Anthony Pettis gets this gift of an interim title and doesn't make weight.
It's his nutritionist's fault, right?
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you, I watched the UFC Embedded, and one of the funniest things was on that first episode, Frank, the whole Pettis crew with his nutritionist are sitting at a restaurant, they're at a steakhouse, and Anthony's eating, and as he's eating, the nutritionist is like, yeah, see, we got to do this sometimes. See, his weight, he's on point. So, you know, you got to break up the monotony of all
this. What point
was that? And you need to enjoy yourself, or else you go crazy.
Well, but he actually was right on point from what they wanted. They said he was like 3 pounds overweight right before, and then he said for whatever reason that last – they said that he was within a pound and a half of making weight.
But he didn't.
And he said that last pound just wouldn't go off.
Maybe he shouldn't have had that steak.
Maybe not.
Maybe he shouldn't have had that steak.
But then his comment saying that he didn't care about the interim belt anyway – that's what had a lot of people going off. Michael Bisping went crazy when he said that.
Yeah, I think
Michael Bisping needs to just shut up.
No, I think Michael Bisping's 100% right. You are being gifted right there, and you don't care about it? No, no, Anthony Pettis, that's disrespectful right there.
Okay, Anthony Pettis remembers how big his head got when he was the UFC champ. Well, I really think he didn't want that.
I don't think he'll be seeing that again. But like you're talked about, right. Donald Cerrone, Matt Brown, that's going to be a ton of fun. You got Duho Choi, oh, Superboy, taking on Cub Swanson. That's going to be great. And then Mr. Notorious for not making weight, Kelvin Gastelum, moving up.
Tim Kennedy smashes
it. Taking on Tim Kennedy. It's a great fight. Hey, you got Valhalla taking on Jordan Meehan. Jordan Meehan coming back out of retirement. Yes. That should be a fun fight too, man. I'm telling you, UFC 206 got a lot of good fights on here. There's some scraps you may want to watch. Don't worry about that, you know, what the interim title or not. Good fight card tonight.
Yeah, good fight card, and maybe a couple dogs on there or something like that, too. So we just don't have time to dive into them all.
Make some money.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. For Phil Devine, for Armando Vasquez, I'm Ballpark Frank. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Saturday.